It is true that the medical field has always spoken highly of fasting and its benefits. This really is true. Fasting is really good for your body, really good for you physically. Apart from anything even spiritual, anything even that God would do, even just fasting in and of itself can have a amazingly positive impact on your health. October 1st is now just 17 days away. Are you ready? Excited, I hope, still. Or getting excited if you haven't been yet. October 1st, the beginning then of our month-long fast here at New Life. We are, of course, fasting for more than just the health benefits. We would be glad for those, but there's certainly more to fasting than just that. A couple of Sundays ago now, fasting is a faith thing. Fasting is an obedience thing. God fully expects and has clearly commanded we're to be a people that walk by faith and that live in obedience. We're to be a faith people. We're to be an obedient people. And because fasting is faith and fasting is obedience, well, then we're to be a fasting people as well. Last Sunday, we considered the purpose of fasting. We summarized it all sort of this way. The purpose is to seek after God. Fasting is deliberately abstaining from food for a specific period of time for a spiritual purpose was the definition that we gave. And we identified, we sort of further clarified, if you will, that spiritual purpose. It's drawing nearer to God. It's communicating with and hearing better from God. It's encountering more of God. It's experiencing more of God, more of God's glory, more of God's word, more of God's spirit, more our hearts inclined to more praise and more worship of God. That's the purpose. That's the real reason we fast. The aging better and the living longer and the health benefits are good, but God is better. Amen? We want Him. We're hungering and thirsting for Him, for more of Him. We're lovesick for Him. Fasting was described in that context in our Wednesday night lesson just this last week. We're so in love with Jesus. We're so desiring time with Him that anything, everything else, even eating is secondary, is insignificant. Our desire to be with Him, to spend time with Him, to talk to Him, to hear from Him, it's more, it's greater than even our desire for food, greater than our desire for anything. We want Him even more than anything this world has to offer us. And unless I miss my guess, you're sensing in your heart and in your spirit the same thing that I am. There's a hungering and there's a thirsting. There's a longing that's begun to stir within our spirits and a recognition that's come from God's Spirit that only He can satisfy that. There's a desperation stirring inside of us. God's doing something. God's working in us. And desperate people do desperate things. We so want Him. We're so desperate for Him that we're even determined to set food aside so that we might find Him and seek after Him. We want Him from the very depths of our being. We want Him. We want to know Him. We want to see Him. We want a fresh glimpse of His glory. We want to hear from Him. We want to be used by Him. We want His plans and His purposes for our life. We want to live in fulfillment of His assignment for us. We want His power evidenced in our lives, manifested in us, manifested through us. We want Him guiding us. We want Him directing us. And it's true, and it's okay to say that it is, and it's okay that it is true. We want His blessing. We want His favor. That's okay to say that. I want to be blessed of the Lord. I want the favor of God all over my life. I want His protection. I want healing virtue to flow in us. We want the abundance of the good, all the good that He is and all the good that He does. We want His Spirit. We want His anointing to be heavily, heavily in our lives and on us. We want the real renewal and the real revival that only He can give. We want it in us. We want it for us. We want it in His church. We want it in this country. We want it for our church. We want it for our community. We want Him. That's the real reason for fasting. That's why we fast, and that's what makes fasting so powerful and effective then. With that as the purpose, Scripture has guaranteed for us the results. We concluded with that last Sunday. The results, the reward of fasting, we find Him. We get Him. According to Scripture, it's impossible for you to fast the right way with the right purpose without reward. As you fast to seek Him, on the authority of God's Word, listen to me this morning. I guarantee you, you fast to seek Him, you will be rewarded. You will get Him. Hungering and thirsting for Him, wanting more of Him, you'll get that. He will fill you with Himself. He will fill you to overflowing with Himself. Want to know Him? Want to see Him? Want a fresh glimpse of His glory? Want to hear from Him? Oh, listen, He will open your heart and your mind and your spirit, your eyes to see and your ears to hear the deep things of God, the new revelations of His character, His holiness, His glory, His majesty, His power, His goodness, His grace. He'll reveal to you of his word things you never knew before, never saw before, never recognized before. He'll demonstrate in you and through you all of His power. Make known to you the working of His Spirit like you've never witnessed before. He'll reveal to you all that He is and all that He does, even more than you've ever thought possible. He'll give to you more of His blessing and more of His favor, even more than you could have imagined. He will work in you and He'll work through you. He'll speak to you and He'll speak through you. He'll heal. He'll, listen to me, He'll heal you and He will heal through you. He'll do the miraculous in your life, but get this morning, He will do the miraculous in the lives of others through you. As you pray for them, as you put your hands on them, as you call out to God on their behalf, He'll do good to you and He'll do good through you to those around you. He'll bring revival to you and to your spirit. And through you, He'll bring revival to those around you. Want to know Him? Want more of Him? Oh, He will give you more. And listen to me. Let me say it once more. That's guaranteed. Because that's the word of Scripture. Because that's the word of the God who cannot lie. It's impossible for you to fast the right way with the right purpose without God rewarding you. He will reward you. You fast for Him, for more of Him, and you will get more of Him. Isn't that good? Isn't it good to consider, even for us as a church and even in our own lives, what we're going to get guaranteed? Because of October, what November, how it's going to look different for you in your devotional life, because God's going to begin to speak to you like He's never spoken before, and God's going to make Himself known to you like He never has before, and the Word is going to come alive like it's never been alive before, and your time in prayer is going to be your own revival and renewal time. Can you think of it, what it's going to look like in this church, how God's going to move more by His Spirit, how there's going to be a sense of God's power flowing through us at these altars, the sick healed, the sinner saved, and on we could go through the list. Listen to me one more time. It's guaranteed that as we seek for Him, we will find Him. And there will be more of Him that we'll experience in our lives. More of God's power. Listen, that's guaranteed. You will experience more of God's power, more of God's glory. More the revelation of God Himself, His presence, His character, who He is, what He does, revealed to you. It's the promise of God's Word that as we seek him, we will find him. And it's true, we don't just do that in fasting. We can seek God at these altars on any given Sunday, whether it's a season of fasting or not. We can seek God in our own devotional time, whether it's a season of fasting or not. But fasting certainly fits into that. And fasting, in fact, we could maybe say it this way, it's the extreme of seeking after God, because we're setting even the very necessity of life aside so that we might seek him and so that we might know him. We seek him with all of our hearts, we'll find him. That's the reward. This morning, what I want us to do, especially as we're now just a bit more than 2 weeks away from starting, what I want us to do is sort of consider the question, if you will, how do we fast? How do we fast? What's October going to look like for us? How do we get ready to fast? How do we prepare to fast? How do we do October and what we're going to do and how we're going to decide to do? This morning, I want to give you four things. In fact, probably this morning, I'm only going to give you two and leave the other two for next Sunday. I want to do this, and you'll see it as we go through the message. I sort of want to bookend the message with what we might refer to as the important, the spiritual. And then in the middle, the practical for us. So first this, let's call it the purity. I think it's important that we understand we can get fasting wrong. And this is true before we would think too far into that. This is true of most things related to our walk with the Lord. And in fact, most things related to what we would probably refer to as spiritual disciplines. Giving would be one of those. The Bible is clear. If we give only for the purpose of getting back, if we give begrudgingly, if we give with bitterness and resentment instead of cheer, we can give, but we're giving the wrong way. And ultimately, doing the right thing the wrong way, it messes everything up. Even the very blessing God has attached to our giving. Prayer would be another. Isn't it odd to think of that? That we can pray wrong. But James tells us, you have not because you ask not. But he goes on to say, you ask with the wrong motives. You know what James says? You're praying, you're obeying, because as Christians, we're supposed to pray, but you're obeying the wrong way. You're doing the right thing the wrong way, and you're not getting what you've asked God for. Thinking of that isn't important that we make sure we pray right. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus, a very harsh and a very strong message for the Pharisees who prayed a lot, but who prayed wrong, and really his words to them are not words we want to hear him speak to us. If our prayer is for show, if you pray to impress people rather than commune with God, if our prayer is meaningless, repetitive babble, it's what you say without any thought to it. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. While your mind is a thousand other places doing a thousand other things. I'm just going to challenge you this morning. If you ask me, that fits under the description of meaningless, repetitive babble. When I say thank you, Lord, my heart needs to be one of gratitude and my mind set on the good things that he's done for me. I just don't say I love you, Lord, to fill in a time gap of prayer. I tell him I love him as I reflect on he's the Lord that died for me. And my heart is behind what I say. In fact, the words are flowing from the heart that is truly grateful and loving him. It's no good. Meaningless, repetitive prayer for show, it's no good. It's not powerful and effective like prayer is supposed to be, like God has intended and made prayer to be. Bible reading is another. We read God's word. You need to be reading God's word. We need to obey the Lord, read his word, know what his word tells us. But James makes it very clear, obeying and reading is not all there is to it. We have to obey the right way, and James makes clear, how do we do that? We don't just hear the word or read the word, we do the word. we obey what it tells us to do, helping for the purpose of getting, helping for the purpose of impressing others with our kindness, all wrong. I think of it, Paul's words in Ephesians. Paul says this in Ephesians 4, verse 15. You could just jot that down and look that up maybe later. Paul says this, though you'll know this. We speak the truth in love. As Christians, we are commanded to put off falsehood. We are commanded to speak the truth. We are commanded to share the truth that is the gospel, that by Jesus, only by Jesus, do we have access to the Father, access to heaven. Jesus, because of his death on the cross, our sins forgiven, a brand new heart put within us, God's own spirit put inside of us, not because of good things that we've done, but because of his grace and his mercy. That's the gospel. That's the truth that is the gospel that we're to share. But notice the command comes with qualification. You don't just obey. You don't just go around, well, I told them the truth. I don't know why they're so mad at me. I just told them the truth. But that's not what Paul says. We don't just obey. We obey rightly. We speak the truth in love. You understand this morning that, again, doing the right thing, but doing it the wrong way has the potential of messing everything up. God's word is clear. As his children, we're to live a certain way. Clearly defined for us in Scripture. Commands from our Lord. We're to do those things. We're to be an obedient people. Remember the words of Jesus in John. We've considered these words the last couple of Sundays. It's John 14, verse 15. If you love me, you will obey what I command. We have declared our love for the Lord. We've surrendered our lives to him. We must obey him. And this also is true, though very often neglected and even ignored, just as clearly defined for us in Scripture. We not only obey, we not only do what he's commanded, but we do it right. We obey him rightly. Last Sunday, we considered this in light of fasting. You can fast, but if not for the right purpose, it messes everything up about fasting. Last Sunday, we talked about how fasting is not dieting. Listen, you can go without one bite of food from October 1st to 31st, the whole month. But if you don't do it seeking God, if you don't do it chasing after the Lord, if you don't do the fasting right, in the end, though, in fact, maybe you'll be a bit healthier. Maybe you'll have lost some weight. Maybe some toxins of some of that junk food that we're inclined to eat, that's good, and the health might be better. But in reality, you'll have missed everything spiritual related to the purpose of fasting. You'll have missed everything spiritually powerful related to fasting. We don't just obey him, not in fasting, not in prayer, not in Bible reading, not in anything he commands. We don't just obey. We don't just do the thing. We do it the right way. This morning, we call that the purity. Let me share with you a few things here. First, it's this. The purity, it's a pure heart. To do October right, to do fasting right, we begin it making David's prayer our own. Make sure you make note of this, Psalm 139 and verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Listen, don't go through the month of October fasting. Don't even begin to fast until first you've begun to consider what's in your heart. What's in your heart that perhaps does not fit the purity description? Can I ask you this morning? Is there bitterness? Listen to me. Don't compromise the fasting. Don't compromise your obedience. Don't compromise your doing the right thing by doing it the wrong way with bitterness in your heart. With unforgiveness there, with animosity, with discord, with adultery. That's how Jesus calls the lust inside of us. Don't go into October with murder in your heart. That's how Jesus calls the hatred inside of us. Do you remember the story that Jesus tells of the one that he comes to pray, but there's wrong between him and his brother. There's wrong with him and his neighbor. And the message that Jesus gives is that guy has no business bringing his offering to the Lord. What he needs to do is go make right with his brother, go make right with his neighbor, and then come and present his offering to me. If I could relate that to our month of October, you have no business coming into a month long of fasting until you've made things right with your brother, until you've repented and asked God to heal you of the bitterness, the animosity, the anger, the discord, until you've gone and made some things right. You might have no need to step into October and committing to a time of fasting. It'll compromise the fasting because it'll compromise the purity inside of you. Before fasting, lest we jeopardize, lest we compromise the power and the potential of it, what do? We let God search our heart. We let God deal with the impure things inside of us. And then we make it our prayer again, like David did. Let's call it the pre-fast purity prayer. Psalm 51. You know it. We sing it. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. How about this? It's a pure life. It's a pure life. One author says this: though you do not fast to be cleansed of sin. Can I just remind you? I don't think you need the reminder, but I just remind you anyways. We don't fast to be cleansed of sin. Listen, you don't read your Bible to be cleansed of sin. You don't go to church to be cleansed of sin. Going to church does nothing for the sin problem that you and I have. Praying, listen to me, praying does nothing for the sin problem that you and I have. Giving in the offering as it comes by, doing good to others, does nothing to solve the sin problem in your life and mine. Trying to be a good person, well, I haven't been perfect, but I've done more good than I've done bad. That does nothing for the sin problem that you and I have been plagued with. Only one thing that solves the sin problem, and that's the blood of Jesus shed for us at Calvary's cross. You are forgiven, not because you fast, but because he died. You are not forgiven because you've come to church. You're forgiven because he died for your sins and took them upon himself. It's the only means of cleansing. You do not fast to be cleansed of sin. Listen to what he says, though. However, you should enter a fast seriously, having repented of any known sins. We not only address, we not only deal with and repent of the inside things, the heart things, we do the same with the outside stuff. It's confession. Lord, I've disobeyed you in this. It's repentance. Lord, I'm sorry I've disobeyed you in that. It's surrender. Lord, I'm turning around. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm surrendering that to you, that area of my life. Confession, repentance, surrender. Listen, let's call it the most important of pre-fast preparation that you could make. Isaiah chapter 58, and again, please make note, it'd be a great passage. We might return to it in the couple of Sundays we have left, a great passage of scripture related to fasting. But listen, the children of Israel, shout it aloud, says the Lord. Do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion, and to the house of Jacob their sins. This is the word of the Lord. Declare to them their rebellion and their sin. Oh my goodness, what are they doing? They must have created more idols. They must be murdering each other, hating one another, chasing after false gods and false religions. Listen to what they were doing. For day after day, they seek me out. Well, wait a minute. Why are they being judged for that? They seem eager to know my ways now. Oh, that sounds good except for the word seem. There's something the matter. As if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God. They ask me for decision, seem eager for God to come near them. Listen to what they say. This is verse 3 of Isaiah 58. They ask this question: why have we fasted? We just went 31 days and we gave up that food and we gave up those meals and nothing. Why in the world did we do that? God's not seen it. Why have we humbled ourselves, they ask. And God, you haven't noticed. You haven't done anything. We fasted, we humbled ourselves. You didn't do anything, God responds. Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife, in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Listen to me, because I think it's a real word for us today as it relates to the purity. Be careful the purity in your heart and in your life, lest it's the words that you hear from the Lord. You can't fast like that and expect your voice to be heard by me. You can't do like that. You can't let that be filling your heart. You can't let that be a part of your life. Isaiah 58, you can't treat people like that. You can't talk to people like that and then skip lunch and think that I'm going to hear you and I'm just going to run to you and give you whatever you ask of me. Be careful the purity, lest it's the thing we hear from the Lord. Is this the kind of fast I've chosen? Only a day for a man to humble himself? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed, for lying on sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the kind of fasting I've chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them, not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Listen to this. Then you do fasting right. Impossible for God not to reward you. Do fasting right. Then your light will break forth like the dawn. Your healing will quickly appear. Listen, church. I say it on the authority of Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 8. I believe that we're going to experience and see in our midst more and more again at these altars the healing power of God manifested in this place, in your life, at these altars, in this church. Why? It's Isaiah 58. This is the word of the Lord. Your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and the Lord will say, "Here am I." One author says this: though Israel appeared to be seeking God and delighting in his ways, their sin was all God could see. Listen, you want God to see your fast, not your sin. There's only one way that happens. You confess, you repent, and you surrender before you fast. Psalm 24, who may climb the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? Only those whose hands and hearts are pure, who do not worship idols and never tell lies, they will receive the Lord's blessing and have a right relationship with God, their Savior. Then this, the purity still, it's a pure heart, it's a pure life, and it's also this, number 3, it's pure motives. Matthew chapter 6, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces, and here it is, to show men they are fasting. I tell you, they have received their reward in full. Listen to me. You really want to mess up fasting. You want to compromise every aspect of the power and the reward that God has ordained, that God has attached to fasting. Of course you don't. But if you did, here's how you would do that. You fast to impress people instead of to seek and to know God. Fasting is not for show. Fasting is not something that we do to impress people with our spirituality. That's what the Pharisees did. They made sure everyone knew. They would put on a gloomy face. They would neglect their appearance. They'd wear old clothes, sometimes purposely torn, purposely dirty. They'd even put makeup on to make themselves look more pale and sickly. They even chose the fasting days that guaranteed them the biggest audience. It was nothing more than a show. Jesus says, all that stuff, that's what the hypocrite does when it's time to fast. Listen, I don't say this to be rude or to sound mean. I'm just going to say, don't be a hypocrite. Not ever, especially not when you're fasting. Jesus says, you fast for an audience of one. Jesus says that God in heaven is the only one you need to worry about seeing you when you fast. God is the only one you need to make sure knows that you're fasting. And really, in fact, what Jesus says, you don't even need to worry about that because he sees you. Oh, he sees you and he rewards you. Scripture is this: God sees what you do in secret, but his reward for you is not done secretively at all. Fasting is a private discipline, but God's reward is often a very public thing, related as well to our motives. And we've considered this before, so just quickly, the reminder. Fasting is not something we do to manipulate God. Fasting is not something we do to twist God's arm. Fasting is not something that you do to make God cave into your commands. Fasting is not something you do to make God owe you. Well, now God has to give me what I want because I just fasted the month of October for him. No, that's the wrong motive. That's the impure motive. Fasting is not a hunger strike. God, I'm not eating until you do for me what I've asked you to do. I'm not eating until you do for me what I need you to do. That's fasting the very, very, very wrong way. One author says this: a hunger strike makes God submit to our demands. Fasting makes us submit to God's commands. Fasting is not a hunger strike. Fasting is us submitting ourselves to the Lord and what he wants to do. So our message, the question for us to consider, how do we fast? We fast with purity in our heart, in our life, in our motives as well. Number two this morning, and we'll finish with this and get number three and number four next week. Simply put, we're going to call it this. It's the plan. It's the practical. It's the plan. The importance here is setting the guidelines for your fast so that what you're going to do has been clearly defined, and in that then, hopefully, what you've determined to do, you will be faithful to do. So the plan would be the what, the when, and the why. Next Sunday, we'll get to it. It's actually number three for us. We're going to consider the why all by itself. So this morning for us, for our plan, we're going to consider the what and the when. The when, we know. We're going to fast the month of October, 31-day fast for us. I would remind you here quickly, though, that the purpose of these Sundays in September, our Wednesday nights as well, even in fact fasting throughout October, it's not a one and done, check that box, check that fasting box, we did it, we're good. I would say it like I said it last Sunday, that would be the worst thing that could happen from these Wednesdays and Sundays and even October. Instead, what's the purpose? To make fasting a more regular part of our spiritual lives. So next time you fast, it might not be a corporate fast. It might not be a church family fast like we're doing in October. It might be just you. How do you do your fast? How do you do that fast that you're committed to? Have a plan. Have a plan that includes the when. What will be the time for your fast? What are you going to fast in November? What's the when? Are you going to do the first week of November? Are you going to do 3 days in November? What's your plan for December? What's the when of your fasting through the month of December, January, February, on into the new year? Our Wednesday night in the book, in the study, it's a pastor that's written it. And listen to this, because I thought it was interesting. It sort of resonated in my heart as something very possible and very doable. And just the thought of the plan. He does 40 days of fasting, no food, through the year. This is what that looks like. He does 7 days in January, and then he does 3 days every month after that. At the end, come December 31st, he's done 40 days of fasting. What are you going to do? Maybe it's the first week of each month. Maybe I'm doing a partial fast. I'm doing a Daniel fast. And I'm going to do a Daniel fast the first week of every month. Maybe it's a commitment to a day. Wednesday is my fasting day. Would you fast every Wednesday? Maybe you would. Maybe, though, you isolate. My plan, the when, is the first Wednesday of every month is my fasting day. The first Wednesday of the month, I commit to fasting. It's between you and the Lord, that between you and what fits best your schedule. But the question for us this morning related to the plan, what's the when of your plan to fast? To continue on in the discipline of fasting. For us this morning, our thoughts turn to the what. What will you do to participate with us in fasting through October? I don't know how else to call it. Just maybe the normal thought of fasting. Typically, when we think of fasting, we think of going without food of any kind for a certain number of days. Will you do that? I imagine there would not be many of us that would do that for all 31 days. That's very serious. That might involve a trip to the doctor just to make sure your body is ready for 31 days of going without food. But maybe you will do that kind of fast, maybe not for the entire 31 days, but for specific days that you would decide on. Then there's also the partial fast. Partial fast would be to give up particular meals or be to give up particular foods, and I think drink would fit into this as well. Maybe you would give up caffeine, you'd give up coffee, you'd give up pop for a certain period of time. Maybe even here, all the days of October becomes a little bit easier for us to commit to the full month when our fast is more of a partial one, not the no food whatsoever one. A Daniel fast would fit into this category. A Daniel fast is basically no meat, no breads, no sweets, only really then fruits and vegetables and water to drink. What will you do? How then will you do that? Are you going to do a normal fast, no food of any kind, for maybe 3 day increments? I'm going to do October 1st and 2nd and 3rd, and then I'm going to take a few days of break and I'll pick it up and I'll do the 10th, 11th, and 12th, and then a few days break, and then I'll do my other 3 days. Will you do every other day? I'm going to fast October 1st, no food, October 1st, but then Tuesday I'll eat normal. Wednesday, though, back to fast, no food. Will you do certain days? I'm going to fast every Wednesday, every Sunday. I'm going to fast every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday through the month of October, no food. Will you do every day? Maybe the sunrise to sunset thing. By the way, you can't do the sunset to sunrise because that doesn't work. You're sleeping all of that time. You don't get credit for fasting while you sleep. But maybe you decide to do the sunrise to sunset. And again, because you're still eating a normal meal in the evening, maybe that is something that you could even do through the month. For the month of October, I'm not going to eat from sun. So 6 to 6 kind of a thing, 7 to 7, whatever it happened to be. But then I'll be able to have my normal meal of the evening time. What will you do? How are you going to do that? It's a partial fast. What are you not eating? What are you giving up? What are you only committed to eating? Like a Daniel fast. I'm only committed to eating fruits and vegetables. I remember hearing, and I think if I remember right, it was a pastor sharing in a sermon, and he was actually talking about someone else. But for a given period of time, they gave up all foods except one bowl of rice for the day. And you know why they did that? It wasn't so much any spiritual thing other than that that's how a good bit the majority of the world lives. Nothing related to fasting Nothing related to anything religious. That's just all there is for them. One bowl of rice, one time through the day. And just to get a glimpse of how the rest of the world lives, or maybe to get a better glimpse of just how good we have it here in America and how blessed we are. Maybe just to have a little bit more, the heart of gratitude. He set aside a certain period of time and committed just a one bowl of rice for that. Maybe your fast will look something like that. I'm only going to eat this or these certain days, whatever. How are you going to do that? How will you do it? What will you do? And here it is. Please know this. This is not meant to make you feel miserable when one of those days gets messed up. What it does, though, it helps us to be faithful and committed to the fast. I'm not sure there's anything real spiritual here, but the sort of we'll see how it goes, that doesn't usually work. If we don't have the predetermined plan, quitting can become all too easy for us. Longevity to a month-long fast can be hard to come by, easily compromised. If there's not a plan made, if the thought is just more, well, you know what? I'm just going to fast when I feel like fasting. And on that given day, I'm just going to fast what I feel like fasting. And maybe I'll just do that as many days as I feel like doing. That can become very problematic in committing to a month-long fast. And I think this is good for us. One pastor writes this: quite often the major benefits of fasting come after the fast is complete. This is why you need to make your commitment and stick to it. We don't want to quit the fast because we don't want to jeopardize, risk losing the rewards of the fast. So the idea, ultimately, I guess I'd simply put it this way: make it easy for yourself to not just fast, but to finish the fast. And I think making a plan is a pretty good step in the right direction, helping us to be faithful to what we committed to. So I leave you this morning with just a few thoughts related to the plan. Number one, the first is this: don't despise the small beginnings. That's what God says in Zechariah chapter 4. I think it fits for fasting. Don't be afraid to start small. Remember, the purpose is to make fasting a regular part of our spiritual lives. In other words, you'll have time to increase the fast later on, to give up more foods for a longer period of time. Don't be afraid to start small. I was thinking of it as related to meals. Maybe all of us, minus health-related issues, all of us could think of missing one meal on a given day. I think probably we could do that. If we skip lunch, we might be especially or extra hungry come dinner. But again, minus any health issues, hey, to miss lunch on a given day, probably doable. How about this? Maybe as a beginning plan, Monday, October 1st, I'm going to fast breakfast. Wednesday, October 3rd, I'm going to fast lunch. Friday, October 5th, I'm going to fast dinner. Every other day, just one meal. That might be doable. We might be able to do that. Or maybe one day, the first day, no eating sunrise to sunset, just a 12-hour-ish span of time. And then the third day, I'll pick that up and do that again. Don't be afraid to start. Maybe it's one day a week. You know what? That first week in October, I'm going to fast Wednesday. I'm going to fast Tuesday. I'm going to fast Saturday. It's just one day. Maybe it's just one meal. Don't be afraid to start small. Not only will we have more opportunity to fast and continue to increase, we'll have the month. So maybe by way of our month of October, hey, that sounds good. I'll skip breakfast Monday. I'll skip lunch Wednesday, and I'll skip dinner Friday. Maybe by week two, you're thinking, you know what? That was pretty easy. You know what? I think this week, second week of October, you know what I think I could do? I think I can miss breakfast and lunch on Monday. On Wednesday, I'll go back to lunch. On Friday, I'll go back to dinner. You know what? By week three, maybe you're thinking, you know what? I think I can fast breakfast and lunch on Monday, breakfast and lunch on Wednesday, breakfast and lunch on Friday. Don't be afraid to start small, knowing that you can continue to increase as you so desire and see fit. You may think it doesn't mean much if you don't go all in, but that's not true. It leads to the second thing this morning. If it means something to you, it means something to God. Just one meal, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, that's not fasting. That's too easy to be fasting. Not so fast, my friend. If it means something to you, it means something to God. Do you understand this morning why we don't have to despise the small beginnings? The only thing we have to do is make sure we fast something that means something to us. No matter what that is, it will mean something to God. Let me just briefly, a little bit from the negative, don't fast something that doesn't mean anything to you. I don't think God's honored by that. I don't think that fits the description of what fasting is to be about. I am not much of a breakfast person. I've shared this with you. Get up and go. A cup of coffee is good until 10. I'm more of a brunch person than I am a breakfast person. For me to fast breakfast wouldn't mean anything. I don't remember the last time I sat down at 8 o'clock, at 8:30, and had a for real deal breakfast. So for me to say, oh God, I'm giving up breakfast for you. No, I didn't give up breakfast at all for God. I gave up breakfast because I don't eat breakfast. If it doesn't mean anything to me, it doesn't mean anything to God. Let's go back to the positive. Don't despise the small thing, because listen to me. If it means something to you, it means something to God. Listen, I can only fast one day. I'm not sure I can do anything more than one day through the entire month of October. Listen to me. Everything that I said about the rewards and all that God does, they still apply to you. If that one day means something to you, it means something to Him. And just as Jesus said it in Matthew, you will experience the reward of your Heavenly Father all over your life. If it means something to you, it means something to God. Number three, and we finish. Help yourself. Help yourself out. Don't despise the small beginning. If it means something to you, it means something to God. The plan, help yourself. Make it easy on yourself. In our Wednesday night study, the author talks about how much TV he watches versus how much TV he watches during fasting time. Not for any real spiritual reason. Just a lot of food commercials on TV. And food commercials are not good for you when you're fasting. Make it easy on yourself. I was thinking of if I were inclined to fast coffee, I'm not scheduling any meetings at Starbucks. I'm going to make it easy for myself, not more difficult. Be careful what you see. Be careful where you go. I know walking through the mall, that little center concourse where all those restaurants are all up above. Listen, you might want to avoid Miller Road, Olive Garden, the Red Robin, all those restaurants. They're big. They're signed. You think they're big now. They're going to be twice as big come 3 days, come a week into your fast. Make it easy on yourself. Watch what you see. Watch where you go. Help yourself. Go easy on yourself. I'm going to remind you today of a scriptural truth. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation, period. That even applies when you mess up on your fasting and dieting. We call those cheat days. I'm not sure how we call them in fasting. I'm not sure if cheating is the right word. But come October 31st, there may have been some cheat days. Even then, still, no condemnation. There may be some times, and we talked about how we can start small, and that's okay because we can increase later on. But even attempting small, some of us might have to back off. We might have to change the commitment. I can't do 3 days a week. I can't do the breakfast on Monday. I just can't do it. I can do lunch Wednesday and dinner Friday, but man, that breakfast, I can't. I wasn't able to do it, and we might have to back off a little bit on our original commitment. Even then, listen to me, no condemnation. And I'll tell you why it's so important, because the devil, oh, how he will love to use that and do what he does best to steal and kill and destroy inside of you. Don't forget what you hear this morning. Help yourself. No condemnation. And really, this may be the greatest help you can give yourself, to remind yourself of the reward of your Father. Be faithful to the completion. There's a reward that awaits you at the finish line. Don't give up. Don't quit. How are you going to help yourself when you feel like doing exactly that? Remember the reward. Don't despise the small beginnings. If it means something to you, it means something to God. And help yourself out so that you're able to complete the task that you've set your heart and mind to do, what you've determined to do as it relates to fasting. The plan, the purity this morning. Spiritual, we've got to do business with God before we can prepare, make ourselves ready to step into a season of fasting. And the plan, well, it's very practical, isn't it? Very practical, but it's the plan that will also help us to make it to the end. Father, we thank you today for your word and what we discover in it related to fasting. We thank you for what you would reveal to us and speak to us today related to fasting. And Lord, I pray for each one in this room this morning that what we have considered together, what we have spoken of together, will be a help. I pray, God, that all of us would make ourselves ready in our walk and in our relationship with you. Purify our hearts. Lord, even now, begin to bring to the surface those things inside of us, those things of our actions, our attitude, how we're living, how we're talking, that don't fit the purity description. Create in us a clean heart. Heads bowed and eyes closed in this room this morning. Would you just make that your prayer? Create in me a pure heart. Oh God, would you just ask him to do that? Would you just invite him, search me, oh God, know my heart. See if there's any wicked way inside of me. Lord, we give you room to make us ready. We don't want to compromise the fast. We don't want to jeopardize the fast by doing it the wrong way. Doing the right thing the wrong way messes everything up, and we don't want to mess this up. So God, give us a pure heart. Make our lives to be lived in purity. Make our motives to be pure. As we set ourselves to fasting through this month of October. And Lord, would you help us in the plan? It's very practical. But would you just lay on our hearts what it is maybe you would speak to us to do? Might be big, might seem too small, but we're not going to despise the small beginning. We're not going to be afraid to do the small thing. We're just going to make sure that what we're doing matters to us. Because we'll know then it matters to you.